Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, parents. Looking for something fun to listen to in the car with your kids? Blippi and Mika have a brand new podcast, Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. Each week, the Blippi Mobile will take your kids to amazing places. Your kids will learn awesome new things about the places and things they see and hear. It's a fun, interactive listening experience for the whole family. Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
Membership fees apply after free trial. Cancel any time.
Hi, it's Carl Daikeler, CEO of Beachbody. I know you hear CEOs in all sorts of commercials and usually tune them out, but I'm inviting you to try our amazing Beachbody fitness and nutrition programs. And if you don't get eye-popping results in the first 30 days, you don't pay. Pick any program and just follow it step by step. Plus, there's free support in our community of over 2 million members. Now is the time, so don't wait. Go to Beachbody.com to claim your free membership and start feeling great.
When's the last time you took a time out? I'm Eve Rodsky, author of the New York Times bestseller Fair Play and Find Your Unicorn Space, activist on the gender division of labor, attorney, and family mediator.
And I'm Dr. Aditi Narukar, a Harvard physician and medical correspondent with an expertise in the science of stress, resilience, mental health, and burnout.
We're so excited to share our podcast, Time Out, a production of iHeart Podcasts and Hello Sunshine. We're peeling back the layers around why society makes it so easy to guard men's time like it's diamonds and treat women's time like it's infinite, like sand. And so whether you're partnered with or without children or in a career where you want more boundaries, this is the place for you, for people of all family structures. So take this time out with us to learn, get inspired, and most importantly, reclaim your time. Listen to Time Out, a Fair Play podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What grows in the forest? Our imagination and our family bonds. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Welcome to Money Making Conversations. It's the show that shares the secrets of success experienced firsthand by marketing and branding expert Rashawn McDonald. I will know. He's given me advice on many occasions, and in case you didn't notice, I'm not broke. You know he'll be interviewing celebrity CEOs, entrepreneurs, and industry decision makers. It's what he likes to do. It's what he likes to share. Now it's time to hear from my man, Rashawn McDonald. Money Making Conversations. Here we go.
Welcome to Money Making Conversation. I am your host, Rashawn McDonald. I tell you every week, every time you watch this episode or listen to it in podcast, to stop reading other people's success stories. And what did I say? Start writing your own. Stop telling people you can't do it. If you have a gift or a passion, lead with your gifts. And don't let your age, friends, family, or coworkers stop you from planning or living your dreams. My interviews I bring on this show are people I know for you. You're a consumer, you're a business owner. They are celebrities, CEOs, entrepreneurs, and what I like to call industry decision makers. My next guest is Victor Dura Jr. He is the president and executive director of BrubMentorship.org. Victor is a nonprofit leader, and has been recognized on numerous occasions for his community development work. Victor recently received a 2021 Community Leadership Award from Atlanta Entertainment Basketball League and Slam Magazine for his work with athletes and mentoring. He is currently attending Clemson University and plans to receive his master's in public administration and serves on the board for Habitat for Humanity. Victor has been recognized 3 consecutive years as a top professional in the nonprofit field by the Spartanburg at South Carolina. To let everybody know, we're going to talk to a South Carolina boy here, Chamber of Commerce. Please welcome the president and executive director of BRUH, that's B-R-U-H, B-R-U-H, mentorship.org, Victor Dura Jr. My brother, how you doing?
I'm doing good, brother, and I'm glad to be here today.
Cool.
Okay. I hope you're well.
I'm doing well, man. You know, just get out the box. You know, we both fraternity, man. Man, we are both fraternity men, okay? Just putting it out like that. But he just happens to be a member of Kappa Alpha Psi. That's all right. That's all right. I still love him. All the cubes still love him. I love him. I'm an old dog. I love this young noob. But I just want to get that out because
1911 love. 1911 love, baby.
But you know, the thing about it, the reason I wanted to bring that to the top, because you know the basis of all Black Greek fraternity is about community, is about uplift, is about brotherhood. And that is why they're found, and plus education and mentorship. And so a lot of people, it gets lost to a lot of people, the core basis of what Black fraternities are like, because they hear about partying, they hear about stepping, they hear about all those things, walking in line for your yard, you know, stuff like that, looking tough, things like that. Tell us about your experience and the values that have been brought to you, positive values, because a lot of negative things, you're always about the lawsuits or a bad pledge situation that didn't go right for students, which we don't. That we don't agree upon, that we don't acknowledge is something that should happen in any Black or white fraternity or sorority. But it is a lot of positive things that come out of joining an organization like the Kappa Alpha Psi, as is like Omega Psi Phi. But talk about your Kappa Alpha Psi experience that you had. I'm assuming it's at the University of South Carolina?
University of South Carolina, upstate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Whatever, man. Stop pointing and tell us about your experience.
So I'll tell you, my first deep and enriching experience with community service came from activities with Kappa Alpha Psi. I served as the community service chairman, also known as the God Right chairman, for 3.5 years while mm-hmm. I was in college.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest with you, when you hear BRUH, it stands for Brothers Restoring Urban Hope Incorporated. And when we started Brothers Restoring Urban Hope 16 years ago, it was with our fraternity brothers.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, on my campus, you know what I mean? We were known as the BRUHs.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And we started out really coming together and providing mentoring opportunities for our campus through the fraternity. And we did it with BRUHs, when you think about it, and even other fraternities. We do a lot of stuff with Omega Psi Phi,
mm-hmm.
but we were founded on that principle, achievement in every field of human endeavor.
Yes, sir.
And you're right, that does get lost when you think about fraternities, but that's where I found my passion.
Right.
So hats off to Kappa Alpha Psi and all the brothers that are out there serving.
Yeah, you know, like I tell all my friends, you know, I tell them that when I pledged Omega Psi Phi, it directed me. It gave me vision. It really, you know, we always have a fire inside of us, Victor, a fire to just, first of all, find ourselves. And when you're around mm-hmm. other BRUHs, which I really relate to, because you know that word been out a long time. And the fact that you guys have turned it into BRUH, BRUH, is guided by the principle that all students, regardless of socioeconomic status, family dynamics, nationality, or past failures, deserve a chance at a bright future. That's what BRUH represents. And you guys have built it out into an organization that's powerful. And like when I pledge, you know, I would give away government cheese, I would give away doing parties, you know, to get money to local community organizations, and because that's what I was supposed to do. Now, but that doesn't mean that people see it that way. See, they see mm-hmm. it as a challenge. But I look at your resume, Victor, I don't see giving back as a challenge to you. Talk about your personality, my man.
Man, I've always have been in fortunate situations. Mm-hmm. I grew up in a single-parent home. I have two brothers, one older, one younger, all who pledged Kappa Alpha Psi. I actually pledged my younger brother mm-hmm. through Kappa Alpha Psi. But I understand from a long time ago that where I grew up at, things could have turned left real fast.
Yes.
And had I not had mentors and folks in my life, such as my basketball coaches, my pastor, my real good friends that were kind of pointing us in the right direction of doing more than just graduating high school and staying in the local town and just doing whatever. I understood early on that I had a responsibility once I got to a place of some type of success to reach back and pour into my community. And I've always just had that about me. And it's morphed into a passion. So when I go to work, it's not work. This is life. You know what I mean? This is easy. Every day is an adventure when I wake up to serve. And that's in the community capacity, right, in the church,
right,
and in the schools.
It's finally here, the season of celebration. And no matter how you celebrate with family and friends, whether you're preparing for Reyes Magos or Karamu, lighting the menorah, or going to midnight mass, Kohl's has just what you need to make those traditions special. Plus, you'll find gifts for all your loved ones. Send warm wishes with cozy fleeces, sweaters, loungewear, blankets, and throws. Support minority-owned or founded brands by giving gifts from Human Nation and Shea Moisture. Or treat them to everyone's favorite activewear from top brands like Nike, Adidas, and Under Armour. And in the spirit of giving, Kohl's Cares is donating $8 million to local nonprofits nationwide committed to the health and well-being of our communities. No matter how you celebrate, when you shop at Kohl's, you're right where you belong. So this season, give with all your heart with great gifts from Kohl's or Kohl's.com.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
Look through your children's eyes to see the true magic of a forest. It's a storybook world for them. You look and see a tree. They see the wrinkled face of a wizard with arms outstretched to the sky. They see treasure in pebbles. They see a windy path that could lead to adventure. And they see you, their fearless guide through this fascinating world.
Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Okay, cool. Now, when I looked at the mission, you know, because it's so much, it continued. One thing I liked about everything I read, it was like a continual thought. You know, you didn't break mission. In other words, the mission is restoring the urban community through group mentorship, which goes back to our fraternity talk. Leadership training, yep, which we all knew. Hey, man, you learned leadership in the fraternity. You learned it. You know, like I said, I'm not turning this into a pro fraternity, but I got to go with what made us, man. What made us be able to have these conversations is a reality that men came into our life who were strangers. And I say they did all the right things. Don't get me wrong. Some of them were stupid, okay? You know what I'm talking about, Victor. Some of them were stupid. But in the end, when you crossed and you became, when you was able to define yourself as a man, Victor, and defining yourself and your other brothers listen to you and say, hey, man, we have a bigger calling or a bigger cause. And that's where you also in your mission statement, you talk about spiritual guidance. And that's the last thing you say in your mission statement. Why is that so important?
Man, even though it's mentioned last, it's the most important piece of Brothers Restoring Urban Hope. When you think about hope, you think about the spirit of the man. Mm-hmm. And you got to have a strong spirit. You got to have a fighting spirit. You have to have a positive spirit. You have to have in my case, a spirit of God, mm-hmm, in order to have hope in this world that we live in. So as we talk about building up the man or the female, because we serve females too, when you talk about building them up to teach them leadership skills, to teach them or try and mentor them.
Right.
You have to deal with the spirit of that person too, and that's their health, that's their mental spirit, that's their their spirituality, It's everything that makes up that person. So we have to deal with that also, especially our young Black African-American brothers and sisters. We really have to deal with the spirit before we even start talking about restoring hope.
And you know, Victor, when I look at you, you know, first of all, I'm proud of you. Okay, I'm proud of you because you're younger than me. I always tell people my path is to make your path easier. And that's what you're doing for people in your mentorship campaigns, male and female. And, you know, being recognized for your community development work, you know, you're on the board of Habitat for Humanity. How does that, you know, do you have time for anything, brother? That's what I'm saying. You know, you have time. You know, because I'm just telling you, I left out a lot of stuff, okay? I just went through and say, okay, this is recognizable. You are a busy man, and your service, Victor, is to the community. And that, and I go back to that because that gets lost because when I grew up, you know, there were people who, I grew up in the hood, with Fifth Ward, Texas, and we moved to a better hood, you know, because, you know, it was just so much money to get you out of the original hood. But all along the way, there were teachers who kept me right, you know, told me, hey, hey, you unique, you have unique skills. Who were the people who kept you focused early on? You know, like, because I know, I can tell you my sixth grade teacher stopped me in the hallway. I can remember that very clearly. I can remember my eighth grade teacher always used to just pour into me knowledge. I can remember my band instructor, you know, Mr. King. I can remember Ms. Traylor, who was my biology teacher, Ms. Nelson, who was my math teacher. And I hated math. And my degree in college, math, okay? And so these people poured into me. And now you poured into the community. Who poured into you, Victor?
Mm-hmm. I had three phases in life where I can point back to that were very impactful. It was my basketball career when I was in high school, getting ready to go to college and get my first scholarship playing basketball. I had a coach that really, really showed tough love. He didn't let me off the hook for anything. His name is Coach Hal McManus. And I still remember vividly the first camp that he put me out of because I had some disciplinary issues. Mm-hmm. But what he did was put his foot down, and now I look back on it, he was teaching me a lesson of discipline. And when I was at home waiting for everybody else to come back from camp, all I kept rewinding back in my mind was, man, I'm missing out on an opportunity. And he didn't give up on me. You know what I mean? They came back, they checked up on me once everybody got back, but I learned my lesson early. I had another mentor. His name is Jermaine Green. He's actually a bro of yours. Mm-hmm. He's an Omega. Mm-hmm. And he was one of the guys in the neighborhood that actually graduated with honors and went off to college. So that was somebody that we were able to look at and see like, wow, he did it. Mm-hmm. And he took me under his wing, and he told me a long time ago, he told me, and we still had this conversation to this day. He said, you always had that leadership quality. And he said, it's up to you, you know, how far you go. And I just remember him taking us to church and, you know, really showing us what college life was like on his campus. Mm-hmm. And then that third phase was in my work field, which is one of the most important phases that I went through. I worked in corporate for a little bit, about 8.5 years.
Right.
But I met two brothers. One of them is your fraternity brother, and and another one is in management still with the same company. Mm-hmm. But they always would tell me, don't ever, ever, ever put your hope in man. Mm-hmm. Don't you ever do it, especially mm-hmm. in this arena. And they taught me how to play the game. They taught me how to speak the language. They taught me how to not be so caught up in my feelings, per se, with mm-hmm. certain things that were going on in the workplace, but to always outthink your oppressor.
Right.
And those kinds of things right there helped me maneuver in the space that I'm in now, as far as relationship building, working in mm-hmm. The professional setting, and also giving that knowledge back to some of our youth that are headed into college and or graduating college. So as I think about those three phases, those are five people that I can say would beyond a shadow of a doubt I still stay in touch with to this day that had a major impact on my life.
Look through your children's eyes to see the true magic of a forest. It's a storybook world for them. You look and see a tree. They see the wrinkled face of a wizard with arms outstretched to the sky. They see treasure in pebbles. They see a windy path that could lead to adventure. And they see you, their fearless guide through this fascinating world.
Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
What grows in the forest? Trees? Sure. Know what else grows in the forest? Our imagination, our sense of wonder, and our family bonds grow too. Because when we disconnect from this and connect with this, we reconnect with each other. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council. What grows in the forest? Trees? Sure. Know what else grows in the forest? Our imagination, our sense of wonder, and our family bonds grow too. Because when we disconnect from this and connect with this, we reconnect with each other. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Cool. I'm talking to Victor Durer Jr. You know, he's the president and executive director of BroadMentorship.org. Now, I'm kind of confused now about the brother. I got to be real honest about this. He just mentioned two Omega men that were valuable in his life that pointed him in the right direction. But obviously, he can't hear. Obviously, he was directed by his older brother who told him, Newport die, Newport die. He became a noob. I'm trying to figure that out. I just had to bring that out. How he gonna mention two Omega? It's another Omega man. Gotta give you credit there. Two Omega men kept me on the right track. But man, that's important. That's why it's so beautiful you to say that, because at the beginning of our interview, I was just talking about the role that fraternal men play in the community that we don't get credit for. Not that we're looking for credit. Don't get me wrong. But there's so many, it's like HBCUs get that, don't get respect for the education that they provide and the people that they have working in this country and just changing the conference of the country. Now, education still is important to you. Now, you went to the University of South Carolina. Is that the Gamecocks?
That's the Gamecocks.
Okay, cool. I'm trying to figure out. See, I got to listen to you, Victor. Now you're over at Clemson. How you doing all this, man? How you get help from the brothers of Omega Psi Phi? You go to the University of South Carolina. Now you're over at Clemson University. You all over the place, Victor. Talk to me, man. What's going on with you, baby?
So at USC Upstate, which is an extension of USC, but it's here in my hometown in Spartanburg.
Absolutely.
That's where I got my nonprofit administration and management degree.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's how I got into the field that I am in today. Mm-hmm. And with Clemson, they have an excellent MPA program that focuses on nonprofit work. And so it was just a good match for the skill set that I'm looking for. As far as nonprofit work goes and the administrative space.
Now, why do you have to go further with the academic training? One would say, hey, man, you got all these, you're getting awards for what you're accomplishing. You know, you're fluent, you're articulate, you know where you're going with your life. Why does one need to continue education in this platform?
Right. So when you think about nonprofit work, I know a lot of people think about the services.
Yes, sir.
A lot of people think about, the volunteers. A lot of people think about the ways that different nonprofits affect people's life. But when you talk to a lot of nonprofit professionals in the administration space, you'll hear lingo such as grant writing, capacity mm-hmm. building. You'll hear lingo such as, fundraising, endowments, a lot of back house administrative work that comes with the different IRS stipulations, yes, and things on raising money. And that's, those are specialties and a skill set that a lot of our African American nonprofit professionals, and it's, you know, it's across the board from an equity standpoint. We don't have a lot of those skills. Mm-hmm. And we have a lot of good works. We have a lot of great programs.
Right.
And we run a lot of good programs. But when you look at the fundraising and the amount of money that is out there, you really have to know your stuff. You really have to understand what you're getting into when you're trying to raise, you know, $2-3 million a year, which is ultimately my goal for our nonprofit. So I just want to be ahead of the game, especially in the movement that we're in right now, the post-COVID slash Black Lives Matter movement, where they're looking for African-American all-ran organizations that have their stuff together. And we just want to make sure that we're in a place and in a space where we're comfortable when you say, hey, Vic, I got $1 million I want to give to you. Mm-hmm. Can you, do you have the capacity? Do you have the knowledge base? Right, do you have the skill set to even manage that? Mm-hmm. So that's what I've dedicated my education towards, really understanding the space and being a master of my fate and a captain of my soul.
Ooh, Invictus. Oh, hey, man. Big brother, anything I can do for you today, sir? Big brother, sir. Big brother, sir. Come on now. You can have me on back online in a minute, boy. I'm going to be a lamp. I love it, man. I'm glad you enjoyed this interview, man, because I appreciate your youth, your spirit. We talked about the mission of broadmentorship.org. Now, the vision, you know, the vision is through your mentoring program. You desire to make personal connections that inspire those in the urban communities to discover who they are. That's important because sometimes I know, you know, all I could see, man, what I saw on TV or what happened down the street. And sometimes what happened down the street wasn't always what I wanted to be, but I didn't have an option to see what I could be. And so that means developing their strengths and overcome their challenges. Like you said, like I'm talking about, and I'm not telling anybody, look, man, I didn't come from no, I wasn't in a gang. I didn't have to deal with drugs on the corner. I'm not saying that, but I'd have to deal, I dealt with a situation that led to a lot of unsafe situations. And that's what we're talking about.
Wow.
We're talking about where, you know, we had to be on the porch before the light went out. Okay, that was a demand. Right. And when I look at what you're doing, which deals with just young girls and boys, elementary to middle school. Now, that has always been considered a very important era to capture young minds, elementary to middle school. Because they've always said that once they get in high school, sometimes that spirit can be lost and their direction of failure has been so defined that it cannot be turned around. Not saying it's impossible. But if you can catch them early, then you can catch a larger number to keep them straight. Am I right in my definition of that, sir?
Right. And I do want to say that our main focus is on the 17 through 24 year olds.
Mm-hmm.
However, to your point, we do have a lot of partnerships within the community.
Yes, sir.
A lot of our programmatic partnerships and community partnerships are with that age range that you talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And you are absolutely right. They say that if you want to teach a person a different language, you can't do it when they turn 15, 16 and up. And you definitely not going to do it when they get older.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to teach a person a different language, you teach them when they're a baby all mm-hmm. the way up, because it's easier to retain. It's easier to mold the mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier to as they say, it's easier to build up a kid than break a man.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And yes, you have to capture them at that early age. But for Brothers Restoring Urban Hope, what we saw, because we work in an area where there are thousands. I mean, when I say thousands, there are thousands of youth that are being served by the Boys and Girls Clubs, the Big Brothers Big Sisters, and the Boy Scouts of America. And all of them fit that age range that we just talked about, that younger age range, where Brothers Restoring Urban Hope found an opportunity. And we said we wanted to fill the space of is what happens when those kids age out of that program at 17 years old. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you what happens. We start to treat them like adults. Mm-hmm. We start to put them in an adult system. We expect them to make adult decisions. Mm-hmm. Those cute little babies that you were training up when they were 16 and you loved them when they were 16, now society hates them now that they got a little beard and a little mustache, mm-hmm. you know, a little spot, mm-hmm. you know, that they stay in or, you know, got their license or whatever the case may be. But that's one of the most pivotal times for my area, because what happens is they fall into that economic, that racial equity, economic mobility cycle.
Right.
And what I mean by that is that that's where those numbers start popping up. Homelessness, mm-hmm. underpaid, not being able to get a job or get into school. Those are our 17 through 24 year olds mm-hmm. that you're seeing popping up in that racial equity report. Mm-hmm. And those are the folks that we are really trying to capture and sit in the gap for them. And I'm pretty sure you'll get to me talking about the different services we offer them. But that's the main focus of Brothers Restoring Urban Hope. Because right. that's where a lot of hope is lost.
Yeah,
I want in between to, I want, that 17 through 24 well, year old.
I want to talk, because I know we're getting close to the end. I want to say two things, and then I want you to talk about your services. If you don't, when you get to that 17, you've been rejected. You've been told, I got you. You've been said, hey, man, I'll be right back. Don't come back. You've been disenfranchised as a young man. You've been discouraged. You've been emotionally and maybe physically kicked to the curb. And I know this for a fact. You have to make a commitment to these boys or young men, because they boys, they really boys, because they didn't get to live a normal life where they could cry, where they could hug, where they can see failure and somebody pick their spirit back up and give them hope to make it. It's all right to make a mistake. And so when I know the journey that you're dealing with, man, is emotionally so challenging because you can't have a day off, Victor. Not with these boys. You can't. Because that day you have off is the day could be the worst day of the life for the kid that you had off for. And I remember, man, that I remember when I first went into a program like that in Houston, Texas. And came in, I spoke. Them boys didn't say nothing. They looked at me and go, okay, thank you. I said, what's the problem? Well, you know, I know you feel good about yourself. I hope so. Because they come in here all the time, do these little speeches like you do, and don't come back. Then I realized right there, when that little kid said, and he was a little kid, he's like 6'3", 240.
Right.
These ain't little kids, but like you said, they've transcended into manhood, and people start treating them like men, but they have the development of a child. Life right. skills, how to communicate, what's my next decision? So they're susceptible to making mistakes they can't recover from. That's what you're dealing with every day in that 17 to 24 age group. What gets you going, man, Victor? Because it can be so frustrating, brother. It can be so breaking, emotionally breaking for you. And then you have these services. Close us out by talking about this, man. I'm so proud of you to spend the time to tell me about your story, but especially the bruhmentorship.org story, which is available. You can go there. Go to that website. It's available on that website. Because I broadcast on all these HBCU schools, and my whole thing is to allow people to understand you as value. You know, you're in the heart of HBCU, all this area. So, but man, speak your piece, man, so we can get out of here, man.
Man, absolutely. You spoke on something a little earlier, and you said you have to, you know, understand your why, and you have to know your why and who you are. And it's one of those situations where I meet with a lot of youth all the time, and through different partnerships, whether it be DJJ, DSS, the alternative schools, right. The regular schools, the colleges, and, you know, we meet folks who just got out of prison, all the way to folks who are to kids who are about to go to law school. So it's an array of kids. But one thing that I've always not understood, and we're still trying to understand this, is when you ask a kid why, mm-hmm. and what's your why, they put their head down and they're thinking about it. And a lot of times, 8 times out of 10 or eight kids out of 10, they can't tell you their why. Mm-hmm. They don't understand their purpose. Mm-hmm. And what we want to do through our services, because we don't do this just Victor and my staff of six, we have volunteers that range from 300 to 400 volunteers throughout the community that we can call on at any given time, mm-hmm. to give a kid what they need at that time. And we do group mentoring. So it's not one-to-one mentoring. So when we show up in huge numbers. For instance, at our summit program with Spartanburg Methodist College, we have a program that really caters towards those first generational college students that have either about to flunk out the first semester of college and or on the brink of dropping out of college. And we showed up with, you know, 40 or 50 of our first generational college volunteers to really pour into those youth. We went over study habits. We go over relationship building with your professor, understanding how to sit up at the front, not the back, understanding where your resources and pockets of folks are on campus that can actually assist you with your tutoring needs, or if you have an issue with a computer and you don't have a computer, who do you need to go to get that computer? Right. Mm-hmm. Time management skills, how to study and focus, because studying in high school and studying in college are two totally different things. So that's just one type of partnership that we have. But it takes a community, and we really live by that it takes a village mindset. Right. Mm-hmm. We have partnerships with Kappa Alpha Psi. We have partnerships with the United Way. We have partnerships with the Spartanburg Academic Movement. Folks that really come in with us and become brothers restoring urban hope, or sisters restoring urban hope. Mm-hmm. And we do it as a community. But one of our main projects that we have going on right now is called Connected Scholars. And that is for our college students, because a lot of times when we talk about mentoring, a lot of people automatically assume that you're talking about a kid that's about to go to jail, a right. high school dropout, mm-hmm. or X, Y, and Z. We often forget about those leaders, those young men and women that'll be leading our next generation. They need mentorship too.
Yes.
And we need to pour into them even more during these times. Mm-hmm. Churches, folks aren't going back to church anymore. Everything is on social media.
Yes, sir.
The world is as racist as ever. Mm-hmm. We've got to train our leaders. You know, we got to be prepared for succession. Mm-hmm. So right now we're in a Connected Scholars program that are really training up our next leaders and really helping them understand what social capital looks like, right. Connecting them with different mentors in their career fields or in their leadership fields, and really pouring into them on a group mentoring basis and teaching them how to operate in these spaces that they're going to encounter once they graduate high school and college, and be comfortable in those spaces and be confident. So we're excited about this program. And I'm excited to be here today. So I thank you for having us.
Well, all I got to say, man, keep seeing it through. And you know what I mean by that, okay? Victor, want to thank you for coming on Money Making Conversation. Man, you come on anytime, man. I love your spirit. And again, I'm based in Atlanta, Georgia. I know you're in Spartanburg. Ever come up in this area, please make sure you come by the building so we can chop it up.
All right. Well, let me just say this. I'd love to invite you out. My cousin, he runs the Atlanta Entertainment Basketball League, the NBA summer league basketball out there, and we're bringing some kids up. I'd love for you and your staff and crew to come out, meet us, and sit courtside sometime with us.
Absolutely. You just tell the date to my staff, and we'll be there, my man. And then come on by the building, brother. I'll make some desserts for you. That's what I do.
All right, brother.
Hey, man, you are an amazing noob, okay? I love you, man. Stay strong, Victor.
Appreciate it.
If you want to see any of my interviews or see any of my interviews on MoneyMaker, go to MoneyMakingConversation.com. I'm Rashawn McDonald. I am your host.
In this season of giving, Kohl's has gifts for all your loved ones. For those who like to keep it cozy, find fleeces, sweaters, loungewear, blankets, and throws. Or support minority-owned or founded brands by giving gifts from Human Nation and Shea Moisture. And in the spirit of giving, Kohl's Cares is donating $8 million to local nonprofits nationwide. Give with all your heart this season with great gifts from Kohl's or Kohl's.com.
Peace to the planet. Charlamagne the God here. And you don't want to miss Hello Somebody with Senator Nina Turner on the Black Effect Podcast Network. I love Hello Somebody simply because I love Nina Turner. She's fearless.
I'm Nina Turner, hell-raising humanitarian, sister in the struggle, and recovering elected official. Listen to Hello Somebody every Thursday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mama, what does the chicken say? Dog. Cat. Giraffe.
Giraffe, really? Giraffe.
You're not going to get it all right. Just make sure you nail the big stuff, like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Get it right.
Visit NHTSA.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.